You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, August 26, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. Seems like yesterday it was Friday and now it's Monday. We're wrapping up August, and here in Texas, that means we're looking. There's a light at the end of the tunnel as far as the end of this horrible summer oppressive heat. I saw a ridiculous news story this morning promoting the climate change, and they were cherry picking years. You know, in 1976, there were only this many 100 degree days, and this year there's way more. See, it's global warming, it's climate change. Of course, they don't mention 1980, where we had like a record number of 100 degree days. They don't mention, they cherry pick what years they want to talk about to promote this ridiculous narrative. Speaking of ridiculous narratives and ridiculous things going on, I do have a news story for us this Monday edition of the Daily Nationalist. This is from RT, and most of you probably heard about this Telegram CEO fella, this Pavel Durov, who has been arrested in France. Now, the headline of this story is, the title of the story is, U.S. orchestrated Durov arrest. Former spokesman, the Telegram CEO, wouldn't have landed in Paris if he was thought he was in danger, Georgi Lubochkin has told RT. Horrible at these Russian names. I'm not Dr. Johnson. I'm not good at these pronunciations. Bear with me as we go through today's story. Telegram founder Pavel Durov wouldn't have disregarded his own safety and landed in Paris if he thought the French authorities were serious about arresting him, his former press secretary, Georgi Lubochkin, has told RT. Lubochkin believes that the order to detain Durov likely came from Washington. Now, this whole story, when I first heard about it over the weekend, this whole story really strikes me that, you know, even we all do dumb things in our lives. We do. And we normal people, we look at ourselves and we tend to kind of beat ourselves up over, you know, whenever you do something stupid. I know I do. When I do something stupid and then later when I realize, wow, that was really dumb, and I look back and I think, man, that was just, you know, why did I do that? Maybe it's a little bit reassuring. The fact that obviously, like from this story, even really smart people, even really quote unquote successful people, will still do really, really dumb things. Imagine believing that a vassal state, France is a vassal state. I went on here recently poking some fun at the UK, at Britain, as a vassal state, as a toady state. They do what they're told by the US masters. And imagine being this guy and thinking that, oh, well, I don't have to worry. France is totally going to look out for me. Imagine this guy recognizes that, you know, his safety and freedom of movement is threatened by the U.S., but then says, oh, it's okay. It's okay to just fly into this vassal state in my private jet because nothing is going to happen. Durov was arrested at Paris Le Bourget Airport on Saturday, immediately after arriving from Azerbaijan by private jet. According to French media, prosecutors in Paris plan to charge the 39-year-old with complicity, in drug trafficking, pedophilia offenses, and fraud, arguing that Telegram's insufficient content moderation, its strong encryption tools, and its alleged lack of cooperation with police allows criminals to flourish on the app. Now let's stop and think about what this claim by French authorities, what this implies, this implies that anybody that has any sort of authority over a platform can be held liable for these offenses. Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg, etc., but even beyond them. By this reasoning, by this claim, the CEO of a telephone company could be swooped up if the government says, well, they didn't do enough. These people are using telephones. You know, if drug cartels are using Starlink for their communications, then Elon Musk could be swooped in and put in prison because he's not doing enough. This is one of the go-to scripts for the democracy system. It has been for a lot of years, actually, to do these things and to claim, you know, they always name the most heinous types of crimes, you know. Oh, pedophilia is for pedophilia. It's for drug trafficking. We've got to do it to stop the terrorists. Well, the most famous of these in the U.S. is, of course, the Patriot Act, which was to stop the terrorists. We can't tie the hands of our heroes who are trying to keep us safe from the evil terrorists. And now we've got quite a few years of hindsight in which we can look back and ask, how many terrorists have the Patriot Act actually stopped? Well, none. We had the formation of the TSA, where you surrendered your constitutional right to not be searched because you're getting on an airplane. They did the Patriot Act. They set up the TSA and said, to keep you safe from the terrorists, you have to just give up your right, your supposed constitutional right to not be searched without a warrant or any kind of probable cause. It's to keep you safe, you see. How many terrorists has the TSA stopped? In these years and years now that they were established, the number remains the same, zero. How many people have the TSA violated their supposed constitutional rights? Countless. Literally every single one that has gone through their so-called screening. This is an incompetency. It was the end result which was desired. It was never about stopping the terrorists, but that's how they have to sell it to people. We got to do it. If they'd have gone to people and said, we want to set up the TSA and you give up your rights against being searched without probable cause, without any kind of a warrant, because we just think we should have that power to do so. We think we should have that amount of control over you. That would have been a pretty tough sell, but you see, they get everybody afraid, and then they say, oh, we're just doing this. We got to stop the terrorists. We have to do this because we're trying to keep you safe. Same thing here. We're trying to stop the pedophiles. They're doing child porn on there. They're doing child porn. If somebody prints off child pornography images and sends them through the mail, does that mean the head of the post office can be arrested? Because after all, they're not doing enough to stop the pedophiles. You see how ridiculous and insincere this argument is. As always, they pick and choose how these things are done. It's a big mystery why he disregarded his own safety and decided to land in Paris, Lebouchkin told RT on Sunday. He's shown throughout his history that he's a pretty cautious person in that sense. He has said many times that there's no point in going to jail. Yes, there's another mystery. Why did he even go there? I mean, why the hell would you go to France anyway? There's nothing there. I mean, really, what are you going to Paris? Now, when this story first dropped, they mentioned, and this is my idea of where this came from. It was mentioned that when he landed, he was being accompanied by an unnamed woman. You know, they still haven't said who the woman was, what her business was with him. Federal agent Stacy would be my guess. More than likely, and this is just pure guesswork on my part, obviously 100%, I have no information, no way to know any information. But more than likely, his reason for landing in France was the woman who was with him wanted to go to France. Again, really smart people sometimes still do really dumb things. And if it's a really smart man, usually, more often than not, the reason, if you get down to it, the reason he does something really dumb is because, pardon my crudeness, my dick. It is because there's a woman involved and she gets him to do something really dumb. It's ruled by his primal desires. And she says, I really want to go to France. Can't you fly me to France on your private jet? Well, sure I can. This guy had a French passport. He's just flying right in the private jet. It's not as low a vassal state would hand him over. See, brain gets all cluttered up. Not thinking with the correct head, etc. I wonder if it's dawned on him yet. He's been had. And according to Lyubushkin, the Russian-born businessman must have been unaware that a warrant was being prepared for his arrest. Yeah, that's how that works. I mean, this is, you know, I don't even know where this statement comes from. Given Telegram's compliance with local laws and sanctions, that he wouldn't be in serious trouble. Well, yeah, I mean, the way it works, they don't tell you they're preparing an arrest warrant for you. That kind of defeats the point, especially when you have the ability to hop on a private jet and private jet yourself out of the country. Yeah, they're not going to tell you they're preparing an arrest warrant. Also worth noting is at one point in time, this guy was bad-mouthing Russia, and he was all, you know, pat on the back, what a hero for speaking up and the democracy when he was doing that. I think there's probably a little bit where he mistakenly thought that had more mileage than what it actually did. I think the attack is coming neither from the EU nor from France, Lyubushkin said. It's most likely an attack from the United States, which has been after Pavel Durov for a long time. Durov has always talked about it. For example, he said, in an interview with Tucker Carlson, that he and his employees are under pressure. At least there's some kind of surveillance conducted by the FBI, the former spokesman continued. I think the root causes are there, so it doesn't make any sense to discuss the intentions of the French authorities who arrested him because they don't play a role here at all, which is the same thing I recently talked about. Vassal states, toadies do what they're told. Toadies do what they're told. You're the vassal state. You do what you're told. This guy's pointing out the obvious. It's a vassal state. He's saying he doesn't think there was really a motivation for the French to bother this guy. So this has to be a case of, again, the toady vassal state taking orders from their master and doing what they're told. It's kind of funny whenever the U.S. wants to go on one of their military campaigns in the Middle East or wherever, and, you know, they always talk about, we've formed an international coalition of the willing. We have formed an international coalition of the democracy, freedom, values of who we are, etc. And their coalition is usually their vassal states. We have been joined by other pillars of democracy, working totally independent in their own national interests, France, the UK, so on and so forth. Toadies. Toadies. It's like the mob boss showing up and saying, we took a vote and all my guys here say that we should come in here and kick your ass and take your stuff. It's a protection fee. You know, don't worry, we took a vote in the community, and the community is voted for. See, here's the community. It's my guys who I pay. they all work for me. In an interview with Carlson in April, Durov said that he drew too much attention from law enforcement anytime he visited the U.S. and claimed that American intelligence agents had attempted to recruit one of his employees to install a backdoor in the app that would have allowed them to spy on Telegram users. Now, this is something that's one of the really more interesting parts, and it's something I think that bears really looking at and stepping back and understanding the implications. I believe these statements 100% that they've come to him and demanded these access. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that the platforms that don't get hassled have already given those. I mean, this tells us in not so many words that he's getting hassled for not providing, for allegedly not providing these back doors. So that tells us that the platforms that don't get hassled have them. For all of their whining at times, little personal spats with Elon Musk and Twitter, there's no talk of shutting Twitter down because, you know, the DMs, they could be doing pornography or whatever. They're not doing that. That means they have those backdoors. Facebook, obviously. There was an original, that was an original one. That's one of the OGs. And so on and so forth. It's sort of like how they go on about we need to ban TikTok. Because, you know, with this massive projection, because the Chinese are spying on average Americans. As if the Chinese would have a reason to give a shit what average Americans are talking about on TikTok. This obsessive control. No, they don't want to ban TikTok because the Chinese are spying on it. They're wanting to ban TikTok because they want to spy on it. The Chinese government doesn't care what the average American is talking about on TikTok, but the U.S. government damn sure does. They want to ban it, this telegram. They don't like it. Now, understand that what this means is they only want to shut it down if they don't control it. You got to stop and think. You got to stop and think about the implications of this. When you have a platform that's not being hassled, when somebody's selling you on, we have absolute privacy, blah, 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 whatever, and they're not being hassled, that means they have absolute privacy, except if the government wants to look in there. You know, your email is 100% encrypted, 100% secure. Well, yeah, maybe from outside actors. But the fact that they're not being hassled means that if the government calls them up and says, hey, I need to look at this guy's email, I'm going to be going in through the back door. If they have the back door, they don't even make the call. They just play ignorant. Yeah, no, we 100%. Everything you're looking at, everything you email, everything you're communicating on this messenger app, so on and so forth, is 100% encrypted. If they're not being hassled, that means they already have access to it. This is what is implied here. Think about that. What does that mean? Anytime you're being told this platform provides this, this service provides this privacy, if they're not being hassled by the government, then understand there is a back door there for the government to go in and look at. You need to be aware of these things. Now you may be thinking, yeah, well, I'm not doing anything illegal. You do still want to be aware of that. They have many ways. You know, one of the things they do, if you're not doing anything illegal, but they still don't like you, one of their things they do, one of the things you see when people get doxxed, you know, and they'll say, left-wing hackers uncovered this guy's information. Yeah, left-wing hackers at the FBI. You know, you got a guy that has decent operational security, you know, they're using VPNs and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, but left-wing hackers found out who this guy was. Yeah, left-wing hackers at the FBI, that's the way it works. That person hasn't done anything illegal. So what they do is they just filter the information. Suddenly a news outlet has your information. It may not be illegal, but it could be embarrassing. I saw something floating around on the internet. I honestly didn't pay it much mind because I understand how these things work. But I saw something floating around on the internet claiming that Kyle Rittenhouse was looking at some sort of, you know, interracial porn. Now, that may be made up. It may be true. I don't care. Because if it's true, how did left-wing activists find this out? Well, because they work at the FBI. That's how they find out. If they have a back door, they're not going to hassle because they got what they want. And again, it doesn't matter. You were not doing anything illegal. They can embarrass you with it. Even though they're promising you have this anonymity, there is none. There is none. There is no anonymity. Don't care what kind of measures you take. Unless the platform, now if the platform you're using is being hassled and the government's threatening to shut it down, you more than likely have more, what do I want to say? You have more anonymity than on one that the government is perfectly fine with. But the safe route is to assume there is no anonymity. Lyubushkin is not the only commentator to suggest that the U.S. was behind Durov's arrest. The Americans are behind the situation as a whole. Ekaterina Mizulina, the head of Russia's Safe Internet League, said on Sunday, alleging that Washington wanted both to restrict the free flow of information and attack TON, a blockchain platform originally developed by Telegram's creators. With major Russian companies investing in TON, the arrest is essentially a continuation of U.S. sanctions policy, Mizulina wrote on Telegram. American investor David Sachs claimed on Sunday that Durov's commitment to free speech and user privacy made him a target in Washington. Writing on Twitter, Sachs declared that using allied countries to circumvent First Amendment protections is the new rendition, referring to the U.S.'s use of foreign airports and military bases to transport terror suspects in the years following the September 11th attacks. Now, they're kind of missing something there. What they were doing is they were using using off-site prison sites. They would grab somebody in the name of le terrorism, and they'd take you to some CIA-operated prison in Poland or something. Now, your rights don't apply. There's some technicality. Now, things have gone downhill since post-9/11. Now, they don't really even bother, coming up with some kind of plausible deal. They just do. We're the era now that they literally pretty much just do whatever the hell they want if they choose to mess with you. Back then, they would try, we're going to take you. You're not technically, yes, the U.S. government is doing this to you, but we're in Poland right now, so your constitutional rights you might have don't count. First Amendment protections, this highlights again, the whole free speech thing is a lie. It's something people have a hard time wrapping their minds around. It was a lie. It was a lie from the beginning. People go on, and well-meaning people, I don't mean to be critical. They'll talk about, what about free speech? It was a lie. It was a lie. They sold that to you so they could say what they wanted to and undermine the institutions that were holding your society together. Well, now they have the power. So, you don't get the free speech. That was a lie to let them say whatever they want, undermine your society, destroy your institutions, to corrupt your families, to just bring everything. Now they're in power. You don't get free speech. You don't get the right to protest. You don't get to hear your grievances heard by the government. You don't get to do any of those things because it was always a lie. It's always a lie. Now, cases like this, again, they always like to frame this up, but that's for the average person who hears these stories. They frame this up as this person was supporting horrible criminal activity. He was allowing money laundering. He was allowing people trade child pornography. You don't support child pornography, do you? It's always these most horrible, heinous things so that the average person hears this and says, the government can't allow that to go on. They don't care. They don't care about those things. At the end of the day, what they're going to care about is people who are opposing the system. People who are a threat to the system. People who are speaking out against the system. Especially if those people... have enough sway or enough potential power to threaten the system. This guy here, he's not just a nobody. He's not like me and you. He's not a nobody. He's wealthy. Successful rebellions that overthrow the old system are always led by a new elite, people who do have wealth and power. Otherwise, you just have a bunch of angry peasants in the street. A recent example are the protests in Britain. This is the sign of a failing system. It's not the sign of a movement that's going to overthrow the British government. for the simple fact that it's not being led by somebody who is a new elite coming in. Does that make sense? The people, yes, you have, when you have a failing system, a system that's in a crisis of legitimacy, and a system where the peasants are basically really, really mad. In olden times, they'd be out there in front of the king's castle with pitchforks and torches because they had a king to blame. We have a democracy system, which is inherently in its design to make sure you don't know who to even blame. It's just the system, whatever the hell that is. It's an army of bureaucrats who impose their will on you. They use these terms like the deep state. Who the hell is that? If the deep state had a castle, everybody could march in front of their castle with pitchforks and torches. But the deep state doesn't have it, so people are left with these vague things. It's the Illuminati. Where do you go to the Illuminati's castle to march in front of it? You see? When you have these, and you have just angry regular people in the street, that's the beginnings of it. But that's nothing that's a real actual threat to the system. It is, because it's a threat to the system in the sense that it's a warning sign, you know, like the old canary in a coal mine. They literally take a canary in a cage down there with them because the canary would fall over and die from the poison gas before the people were. And that gave them their warning, get the hell out of the mine. That's where that saying comes from. If you didn't know, I think most of you do. But that's the canary in the coal mine. It's a warning to the system, not that the people angry in the streets and protesting, not that those people are going to destroy the system. It's a canary in the coal mine. It's a warning to the system that you're having a crisis of legitimacy that is starting to rear its ugly head. It's one of the early stages. The true threat to a system is when those people in the streets are being led by somebody who's wealthy and powerful and represents a rising new elite that has the ability to overthrow the corrupt and weakening old elite. These are how actual revolutions, these are how actual things that overthrow governments and overthrow systems, this is how these things take place. Now, I'm not saying this particular guy was one of these people, but he does have that. People like this do have that potential. They do have that potential, and they're always going to garner more attention than someone such as you or I. I mean, yeah, the system is insanely obsessive about any criticism of it, and they're also extremely petty, to where from time to time, someone such as you or myself, you know, they will hassle us. They will crack down. You know, but we don't pose a real threat. They're just being petty. They're just being obsessive about any and all criticism that is allowed of them. But when you have somebody who is wealthy and powerful and can represent a new rising elite to the old corrupt and crumbling elite, that is someone that is going to have special attention paid to, because they really do pose a serious threat. Along the same line, is kind of a humorous parting thought as we get ready to wrap up. You know, all of these color revolutions in these countries that the government doesn't like are organized on American social media platforms. You know, this is just a fact, which again tells you that's why those platforms don't get harassed. And when these leaders of these countries ban these U.S. platforms, you notice how they kvetch about it. You notice how they whine and moan and say, oh my gosh, look, this awful authoritarian regime is banning people's free speech. They banned YouTube. They banned Facebook. They banned Twitter. How dare they? How dare they interfere with people's free speech? The people have a right to organize, be organized by the U.S. government, try to overthrow the current regime in this country that the U.S. government happens to not like, which is failing to toe the line. That's why France always toes the line. It's why Germany always toes the line. It's why Japan always toes the line. It's why the U.K. always toes the line. Now, this guy is facing prison. because he's not doing enough. He's allegedly not towing the line, or at least not towing the line enough. Now, if all of a sudden the charges get dropped and he's released, it doesn't mean, oh, wow, the system still works. No, it means he struck a deal. They obviously are mad because he's not giving them automatic entrance back doors to the system. If all of a sudden these charges are dropped and he happily flies out of the country, it doesn't mean, wow, the system still works. No, it means that he made a deal and agreed to give them the back door. That's the other side of this, what you could be witnessing, you know, kind of like with Trump. You're watching, you could be watching a very public negotiation. They're turning the screws. He hasn't been wanting to give them their automatic back doors. Well, here's some extreme pressure now. We'll see what he says. All of a sudden, the system has worked, and so these charges are ludicrous. You have to let him go. And he flies away into the sunset. Probably not without Agent Stacy in his company. Then that means they gave him the back doors. Anyway, maybe then he'll have learned. Maybe next time he won't fly into France. Maybe he'll stay out of these puppet states, you know, out of these toady countries. Maybe it's a hard lesson. Maybe he'll have learned it. Anyway, we're going to wrap up on that note. I hope you have a great week. I appreciate you joining us here to kick off your week. The Daily Nationalist here, Radio Albion. I'll be back tomorrow. By the way, I haven't even recorded The Parish of the Patriots yet. This is going to be one of those rare instances where it gets recorded on the day of. I usually do it over the weekend. I've had a lot of stuff going. I got stuff going on, y'all just wouldn't believe. But that's okay. I'll be back tomorrow. The Parish of the Patriots. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. Dr. Johnson will come, of course, Thursday to do his geopolitical-centered Daily Nationalist. And who knows, he may do a story on this, which will be much more, it'll be a lot more well-informed than my version. And of course, I do, as always, plan to be back here on Friday to wrap up your week. Again, I hope you have a great week. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.